Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, how are you, Randy?
I'm a little chilly right now, but I'm okay. We made it back from the San Francisco Bay Area, and we're back in our little cabin in the woods, and it was, again, 20 degrees this morning, but whatever.
You must be exhausted from this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty interesting, and I know we're going to get into, kind of sharing kind of a behind-the-scenes look at it, and it was very, very cool to be able to share our story about, you know, really hope and healing for marriages, and that's kind of our goal with, this past weekend and the TV taping with the Oprah Network and all of that. So very, very impressed, you know, as I figured I would be with, you know, the producers and folks from the Oprah Network, and just it was a really positive experience. So now we'll just see. I mean, you know what we got to say, and we'll see how much of it, of our story and the way we want to communicate it actually makes it to the show. So
that's amazing. I love it. I love it. It's just I haven't watched that show yet. I have to watch it. Typically the first half of our show we do real estate, of course, and the second half is spiritual self-help. But since Randy just went through a taping, we're just going to go ahead and talk about it and maybe help some people out there with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your flexibility. We've done this a few times. I know the run-up to the election, we kind of suspended.
Oh, we did kind of do that with that, didn't we? Yeah, we were really passionate about that, weren't we?
So much
so much our passion did, but yeah.
I know it was two or three shows where we just talked politics, and I was kind of joking. I go, we could do a political show, man. And I think we were caught up, of course, in all of the run up to the election and the difference, of course, and all of that. Same old.
It's fun to do that sometimes, though, right? But we don't want anybody to think, well, wait a minute, this is supposed to be real estate. What are you guys talking about? But we put the title out there, so. But
I do have a quick real estate question before I dive into my thing. Is that okay?
Sure.
I pretty much decided, I think Monica and I, we are, well, I shouldn't say pretty much decided. We're, taking your advice, we've decided not to, at this point, for us, we've decided it's not the best thing to do to do the short sale. So we're gonna hang on to our home.
Good.
But we have a really good tenant, and one of the options we're contemplating is maybe even moving back into our home, at least to have a base, here in California. I'm gonna be back and forth to Maui with some more radio consulting and whatnot, but. So I don't know. I kind of feel bad. I get personally involved, and I know your whole thing, our whole thing, this first half hour is heart and soul as it relates to real estate. I'm struggling with, she loves the house. I'm really struggling with, making her move, and that whole thing. But it's on the
and you're
going to
ask me my opinion on that? Come on, that's not fair.
I know.
It is. When is the lease up?
It's a month to month, so I could give her I was thinking about, it's typical 30 days, right, notice? But I was thinking about giving her 60 or maybe even 90.
I don't know. It's different in different regions. It depends on your lease. I mean, typically state to state, 30 might be a minimum, but if your lease says longer, so it just depends. It's different in different jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Because she figured maybe she would just buy it and stay there permanently, right?
Yeah, that was an option. I don't know that she's able to do that. She still has some credit issues and can't really do it. And, you know, we're thinking about a lease option where, over a year or two-year period, right, where some of the money can go toward. So you on a lease option, you basically charge a little more than what you're normally charging, and say maybe $100 or $200 a month goes toward.
Depends. Yeah, it depends on what you are. Well, for what you're charging, because we won't get into the numbers, can you rent something else that's going to be just as nice for the price that you would do if you kept her in there as a long-term tenant?
And we thought about that as well.
Well, the only reason I'm throwing that out there is I wouldn't want her on a month-to-month if you want it to really be long-term. I wouldn't want to get a year in, because she sounds like she's been a fantastic tenant.
Yeah.
If you could rent... I don't know if that's – Chico's sounds like such a great area, and you already have a lot of roots there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's other places you're thinking is going to make you more centrally located, because I'm not even looking at – I'm just saying you would know the best spot to be in.
Yeah.
So you could see if you can rent something that makes sense, and you're not going to – and then you have the company rent it because you're not going to be there full-time. You're going to need to go back and forth. Then you might be able to get a write-off, but you would want to check with your accountant and make sure you're able to do how you... So that might be another thought, rather than just saying, well, we own this, let's move back here, you know? But it may be good to do, too. It's just that there's a couple ways to look at this. But because you have the radio consulting firm, you may... and that needs to put you, like if you're in Maui or in California, you could fly to the East Coast. I mean, you have to go to different places. You may need a place to put you that would literally be, right?
Kind of the home office kind of thing, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't want to do a home office in your house and then convert it, depending on, because then you have to depreciate that your house that you live in, you know, that you own. You want to talk to your accountant again about that. So I would talk to my accountant, because it's not always, unless Chico is exactly this perfect spot and area, if it's exactly where you should be, proximity-wise, and you already own the house, then, yeah, it makes sense to go back into your own house. But you see how there's many options.
Yeah, and it's not. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it. It's, in some ways, because of the flying in and out of airports, both with the marriage ministry we have and also the radio consulting, it would be really actually preferable maybe to be like near an airport, say in Sacramento area or something. I appreciate that. That's, again, typical.
Just a thought. But you can definitely talk to your accountant, because I don't know what the numbers are.
I guess I need to get an accountant, right? Because that
would... well, you don't need to have one on retainer right now. I think you could just, consult with somebody.
Wait, you are such a wealth. There's so many questions.
No.
Even from what you just said, I have other questions, and I know we...
But I just love when you're going to ask me, you're going to tell me to make somebody move? God, you know, my heart's like, oh, my gosh.
Should I kick her out or not, you know? And,
don't tell me to do that.
No, I know. And we go back and forth from, you know what, we feel bad to... she's been a great tenant, but it is our house. And, our Chrissy lives in Chico. She's going to Chico State. It'd be kind of cool.
That makes a difference then.
Yeah, and she could live there.
That makes a big difference. And that you just changed the whole scenery, you know?
Yeah.
You just changed it, because that may be where, it does make sense. And then, based on the type of tenant she's been in, I would give her probably at least 90 days, to be honest. But
okay.
I don't know. I mean, that's just my heart saying that, but,
I was thinking the same thing. We're on that same wavelength.
Sounds good.
The number 347-945-5428. If you are listening live, we'd love to hear from you. We will, the goal today is to talk a little bit about this TV taping thing, but if somebody has a real estate question, we'll take it. 347-945-5428. Bottom of the hour, coming up in about 20 minutes, Nancy Coy is going to join us, and she is, I'm interested to see how, you two connecting, Natalie, because she's very, very similar to you on many, many levels. She's a visionary and co-founder of Healthcare Finance Direct, and it's the nation's leading in-house patient solution. Her company transacted businesses in 6,200 cities in the U.S. and Puerto Rico, and it's an automated proprietary web-based system, and this is where I thought about you. It's designed to process 1,000-plus transactions an hour, and it's one of those deals where her company basically provides financing for health-related costs that people get turned down for elsewhere. So it's kind of somebody has dental, vision, or medical procedure, something that needs to happen, and for some reason they couldn't get credit through typical, you know, financing means. They do that. They finance for healthcare.
Oh, so they finance like credit for individuals. We'll find out, right?
Yeah.
And then
it's pretty fascinating. She explained the whole thing and how it's just exploded. And anyway, Nancy, my connection with her is, we spent the weekend at her home because she's married to Wayne Coy. And Wayne Coy, get this, and this is where we transition into the Oprah taping. Wayne Coy was my morning show partner 20 years ago, well, more
what?
Now, when Monica and I were going through our problems and I had the affair. So,
wait a minute, he was your morning show partner on the radio?
When we were going through our struggles.
And then the Oprah, the team decided to use their house?
Yep.
They're not related, like, in the production, right? It just was
coincidental
that they decided to do it at their – wow, how cool.
I just reconnected with him on Facebook, and I thought when we started thinking about where to shoot, you know, do the taping, they wanted a kind of a living room, a setting, you know, at some house. And I thought, you know what, we've been wanting to kind of connect with Wayne and Nancy, and bonus, you know, Wayne was kind of at that point my best friend, really, and morning show partner on radio when Monica filed for divorce and we were hopeless and yada, yada, yada.
Oh, know, wow.
God healed our marriage. But so it was a multiple exciting weekend for us. And I'll go ahead if you want and just kind of talk about.
Wow, I think that's fun. That's fantastic. Go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's one of those things where they basically flew out three producers from.
Well, let's back up a second. Let's tell the audience what the show's what it's going to be because it's
on the Oprah Network and it's called Unfaithful, and you know it's about stories of infidelity. Some stories they air with couples who didn't make it, and you know, and that's kind of got to be an awkward weekend shooting. But
gosh,
you know, bringing exes together. But then they love as well because of Oprah and her brand, which is healing and self-discovery. They love sharing stories of people who recovered and made it and survived and thrived. And that's, you know, that's us. So they were very intrigued with our story. The therapist who we were on Dr. Oz with recommended us to them. So,
wow.
Yeah, Gary Newman has been on Oprah, I guess, 20 times. So he's one of the guys. He, you know, his episodes made it into Oprah's whatever top 10, you know, episodes of all time. Because anyway, he's very connected to Oprah, and he basically recommended our story, and there we were. So we ended up in the Bay Area shooting it at our friend's house, Wayne Coy, and they flew their producers out, and Sunday. You know, we shot in their home, and pretty fascinating to watch these guys walk in with all the equipment and the lighting. Literally, it took an hour and a half just for them to set up the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to sit on a couch, you know, makeup on, which is kind of weird. And,
it's weird for guys, yeah.
Yeah, and sit there while they basically tried to get the lighting just perfect, which is so. You know, from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, it was kind of fascinating to watch all that happen and realize that it is a lot of work. And so they shot that, and that was cool. And really, it was more of, again, the healing part of it. So Monica and I sitting together talking about, you know, how we processed, you know, all that we went through and how, you know, we worked with God toward getting, you know, our marriage healed. So. The cool thing was the first day we started out talking about the positive and the you know the healing aspect of it, and then they brought in Gary Newman. They actually flew him out from Florida to be the you know, kind of the therapist in this episode to talk about our issues and what we brought. And even though he wasn't our therapist during the time, he's very knowledgeable about our story, and so he was able to speak on, you know, and kind of our stuff and our process. So then they shot that with him, and so the first day, and they did a bunch of what they call B-roll, which they'll use when they introduce the thing or go to the break or whatever, and it's like us walking in a park, talking to each other, and all that kind of cool stuff, and that took another couple hours. So literally the first day was all that just kind of set up, and then the second day we ended up going to a local TV studio where they had a big green screen, and they separated us. So it was going to be, you know, them asking me questions, and then, you know, I had to leave. I couldn't be in there. And then them asking Monica.
Wow.
So that was pretty wacky. And it was supposed to be five hours each of us, and mine ended up being 8 hours because of, again, some technical challenges they had. And here's an interesting thing I think listeners will be intrigued by. They had me sitting up there with, you know, this, you know, obviously makeup and then the shirt on, and they're looking and getting the lighting right, and then they all disappeared. Literally all the producers were gone, and I asked the sound guy, I go, where'd they go? And he went in to look, and he came back and he said, they actually have you on a video feed right now to the executive producers in New York.
And you're kidding.
And a couple of them don't like your shirt. They want you to change the shirt.
Oh, wow.
Like, what? So
were you able to? I mean, were you? They put, okay, they brought like wardrobe stuff. Okay.
Yeah, well, I brought several shirts, you know, to choose from, and we found a shirt finally that worked. But I had no idea that, you know, that all this was going on. I had a feeling they were being so kind of careful about everything, you know. A little spot here, we've got to get this off, and it just was really.
Has to be perfect, huh?
Yeah, and the thought crossed my mind that, you know, well, these guys get kind of critiqued on by, you know, higher ups, executive producers on everything they do.
Sure.
It's got to be perfect. So kind of interesting. And the questions were, you know, the questions were interesting because they, you know, they spent some time, probably a good hour of the 8 hours, asking me questions about, you know, about the affair. And I mean, some details. And
was that,
you know,
painful, though, for Monica and you? I mean, kind of to, I know with your ministry, you're going to talk about things, marriage ministry, to kind of, you know, to relate and tell people your story, but I'm sure you're not getting into details like they want on the show. So was that difficult?
I got to tell you, it really, Natalie, it really was.
I could imagine. Ugh.
Because when we tell our story at a church or, you know, some kind of an event, we kind of hit the kind of just, kind of hit the 20-minute version, you know, you know, we don't go into detail anymore and revisit really the, you know, the thing. And I, there was about halfway through that hour of talking about, and there were a couple questions I told them I'm not comfortable responding to, you know, where they kind of went a little deep and wanted to know certain things about the actual sexual relationship. Yep, and I just said, you know, not. And they told me, to their credit, before we started taping, if there's anything you feel uncomfortable answering, just tell us, and we'll move on. So I said, yeah,
So they could cut that out and everything, so you didn't have to. That's good.
Yeah, because
so, I can imagine.
But I felt about halfway through that segment, I felt myself clamming up, like really, I'm really done talking about this. You know?
I could imagine. I imagine some people might just walk off and say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Just can't do it.
I
could totally feel that. Huh?
The guy that was asking me the questions, I actually asked him, I go, hey, I got a question for you. Does anybody ever just walk away here? You know? And he goes, why, are you frustrated? And I go, I kind of am. And he goes, are you going to walk away? And I said, no, I'm not thinking about it. But I wondered if you ever had that happen, because this is really uncomfortable sitting in this kind of segment of our story. And so we moved on, and it was...
What'd he say, yes?
People
do?
So he said no. He said nobody had ever walked off on them.
Really? Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't either. Cause,
I mean, I kind of think, I don't know. I mean, the marriages are more important than the show. I mean, to Petula, you know what I mean, to people.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have to be, and you and Monica are so strong, and you adore each other, and, you know, this wasn't something that was happening over and over and over. You know what I mean? Like, it was a one time
yeah.
in your whole, all the years you've been together. But
yeah.
I give you credit, cause, and to be able to do it and hang in there, because it had to be tough. It just had to be gut-wrenching tough at some point.
And it really, because of what it turned out in me, when I was done and it was Monica's turn, and so to give you some time frame, I showed up at the studio at 10:30 Monday morning. I was done, 10:30, and I was done about 6 o'clock, 6:15 in the evening. So it was all day. And now Monica was supposed to sit through 5 hours. And I remember when I left, I was really kind of mixed emotions. I'm like, man, I know what it kind of brought up in me, and I was kind of scared.
Yeah.
Her, you know, and the good news is she's so, I think
she's
they
amazing.
Spent more time on me with the probing questions because I was the guy, I was the, you know, the adulterer, if you will. I was the one who, you know, the guilty party. And so for her, I think some of the questioning wasn't as intense, and at least in terms of some of the things they were asking me. And she got through it in about three and a half hours, so...
Wow.
It wasn't quite as long.
Wow.
But it was pretty fascinating. And again, I'm you know, you and I both. At least I'll speak for myself. I mean, I'm a big Oprah fan, and I think she's.
She's great. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing, and just honored to be a part. And I really trust and believe, because you are kind of putting, you know, your story and in some ways maybe even your reputation in the hands of these editors and producers, and, you know, they can skew it a whole different way if they want. But the beautiful thing is, I know from the amount of time we spent talking about the healing process that they can't cut all that out because it was a big part of the story. And so,
wow. Yeah, right.
We want to bless, you know, we want it to be a blessing, and people who feel hopeless maybe to see that, you know, you can survive, and so that's
yeah.
our Oprah Network TV taping story, and it was pretty exciting, and we'll see.
Well, it sounds just wonderful. And when does it's called Unfaithful, right?
Yeah, it's called Unfaithful. I think Stories of Betrayal or something like that, and
did they say when that's going to run, or?
They said that they typically, the new season begins in February, and they've got, you know, several new shows in the can. And I think, typically they go 13 weeks or something, and so our show will be probably sometime in late February or March. And it'll be, you know, it's an hour show, and they usually take, kind of like us, they take the first half hour, and it's one couple, and then the second half hour is another couple. And so, yeah, sometime we'll keep people posted. I think sometime in February or March they'll let us know.
Now you got into that because of you were recommended by the other doctor that was on the show.
From the Dr.
Lines,
Oz show,
doctor,
yeah.
On the doctor. Oh, you got recommended there from the other gentleman that came through the Dr. Oz show, right?
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. M. Gary Newman is
okay.
His name, and he wrote the book. Literally wrote the book on why men cheat. You know, he interviewed 1,000 men, and you know, wrote the book on why men cheat, and that was kind of the focus of, you know, the Dr. Oz show, and that day when we were on, I think it was during the time when like Tiger Woods and John Edwards, and you know, there were like four or five major celebrities that were kind of exposed as having affairs, and so, you know, he kind of was brought to the forefront again. He'd been on Oprah several times, and he's a really cool guy. He's a marriage and family therapist who also happens to be a rabbi.
Really?
So,
how
pretty
cool.
Pretty interesting conversations with him, you know, as regards faith and
wow.
And he's very, very articulate, and of course, and he's told me that at this point, though, you know, he's going to be interviewed again on Oprah, actually by Oprah, one of her shows coming up. But he's kind of done being on every TV show just to be the fly-in for 3 minutes to be the resident expert. You know, he's kind of over that, and You know, he said Dr. Oz had asked him back, and he declined because, you know, he's busy. And
right.
It's one of those things where...
But his book is out there, and people can get... That's interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, Why Men Cheat. And he says the reason, you know, people... When I mention the title, maybe, you know, women who might be listening are saying, well, what's the reason? And he said the number one reason why men cheat has nothing to do with, you know, better-looking woman necessarily or better... you know, sex. He said basically it has to do with not feeling affirmed, not feeling like there's a connection. And obviously there, without going too deep into a Dr. Laura type show here, you know, there's obviously reasons on both sides that create that feeling of disconnectedness. And
there could be some that just that's their personality and they're not going to change, right? And those are the ones that you want to kind of run away from in a way,
oh,
right?
Well,
versus,
yeah.
No, I mean, I believe there might be some people, that, and women included, that that's just who they are, right? So if it's constantly happening over and over and over again, that's not a, that's a really bad sign, right? But if
yeah.
it's isolated and it's happening and the relationship stays strong and each person's willing to work through it, then to me that's a different situation altogether, you know?
Yeah, and Dr. Oz, when, you know, he mentioned that when we were on, he, you know, after Monica shared her great story of, you know, sticking with me and our healing and all of that, Dr. Oz kind of got his shot in. He goes, well, Dr. Newman, isn't it true, though, that essentially, really, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater? Isn't that what, you know, research shows, is that men who cheat, you know, essentially will cheat again? And there was a moment there where I felt like, and we all have those moments where I, you know, my heart started beating because I knew I was supposed to say something, and I chickened out.
Right.
And I, you know, I wanted to say to Dr. Oz that, you know what, I think that research is probably true, and apart from God, seriously, apart from God changing lives,
right.
I think that's true. I think men will continue, women will continue in whatever sin or cycle they're in because they're not healed. But
unless their values, yeah.
It was that moment where I had a moment and I chickened out. But Dr. Newman stepped in and kind of said the same thing, basically. And Dr. Oz went so far as to say, you know, research has shown that men have a cheating gene where they can't help it. It's a gene. It's a physiological issue, you know.
Oh, you're kidding.
And Gary
really?
Newman went, no. I don't think we should.
No, I don't think so. I know God put men on, you know, to procreate, but I don't think so either. Yeah.
Yeah. So
how
you're listening to Realty Universal Radio, and again, realtyuniversal.com. We kind of have taken a bit of a departure today from real estate, except for some of the...
A little bit. Completely.
That Natalie shared at the beginning. But actually... Again, based on your whole philosophy of real estate and doing business, it's about heart and soul, home is
totally.
Where the heart is. And so I think even these topics in some ways fit today because, as you said before, as a real estate agent, you are privy to really the personal things in people's lives, and you find yourself, you know, in those situations. And it's more than just a job or a commission. You find yourself literally, you know, befriending and helping families.
People really are, right, the agents really are. coming close to people, getting close to people, you know, finding out information that, of course, people wouldn't disclose, but many times you're involved in, unfortunately, involved in divorces and family issues, et cetera, you know, so.
Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and it is time, and I see she is actually on the line here. As I look at our studio board.
Oh, hi, Nancy.
Nancy Coy is the visionary and co-founder of Healthcare Finance Direct, and it's the nation's leading in-house patient solution. Her company has transacted business in 6,200-plus cities in the U.S. and Puerto Rico, and her proprietary automated web-based system is designed to process 1,000-plus transactions per hour. Nancy lives in the San Francisco Bay Area with her best friend and my former morning show partner, Wayne Coy, and husband Wayne Coy, and their four children, and of course Gracie, Otto, and Poopy. Those are the names of their dogs and cats. Gracie, Otto, and Poopy.
Oh.
But she says that's probably a little bit too much information. And Nancy Coy joins us from the city by the bay. Nancy, hello.
Hi, how are you today, Randy?
We are fine. Natalie is on the line as well.
Yeah, hi, Nancy.
Hi, Natalie. How are you, Natalie?
Great. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Wow. So much. This is, again, this is the fastest hour in radio, and because not only the topics, you know, in the first half hour, but then as we have folks on who are literally what we like to call change agents, people really making a difference in the world in the second half hour. And Nancy Coy, you are one of those. And before we get into the business and the company, I know your heart is to talk to women and speak to women, about business, about entrepreneurship, and specifically raising women who are maybe stuck, say, in the welfare mindset to, you know, be inspired to look up and to be better and grow. We're going to get into all of that, you know, and I think people are going to be interested in your unique company that you've founded. But why don't you just for a moment or two talk about, you know, let us get to know you a little bit. So you were born and raised where? And tell us a little bit about your journey personally.
Absolutely. Well, I was born in King City, California. My dad was born and raised in the ghetto of Oakland himself, and moved on to retire after 41 years as one of the top chiefs of California Department of Forestry. So I actually moved in and out of different areas throughout California my entire life. And I started my career journey pretty early on. In fact, I started working at JCPenney's at 16. I was just having a dialogue about that with the gal that I'm working with today out here in the field. Needless to say, I guess chose a pretty quick career path and went to school and finished there and then moved back to my hometown of Fresno, and where I spent most of my high school years, and met my former husband, and I had two wonderful children that I absolutely adore. Two of the four that you spoke about were actually from me, but all of them we love dearly. But needless to say, went through some real, real challenges with a very tough divorce. And through that, those tough journeys, was able to meet a lot of amazing people. And my career kept going in a great direction. But we all know that it is a journey and you do hit some roadblocks. And so went through those and muddled through that and moved on to greater horizons. And of course, rekindled with my best friend, as you said, and your former radio partner, Wayne Coy. I've known Wayne since I was 11 years old. He was 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because that's a pretty cool part of the story. You knew Wayne when you were 11 years old.
I did.
And he was older, right? He's a little older. Was 16?
Yeah, he was 16. Yeah, I was a flea. He didn't think too much of me.
And speaking of, again, you know, backgrounds and similar backgrounds, Wayne and I both, you know, kind of rough childhoods, in and out of foster homes, and that's how you guys met, right? Is that Wayne was in a foster home, your aunt, was it?
Yeah, it was actually my great aunt. My dad, of course, had left. My father was born, or Wayne and my father were both, of course, raised in the ghetto of Oakland, and my dad had left, and my great aunt who had known Wayne through his whole life, now became her foster son.
Wow.
And she raised him. So
wow.
I would go and visit my great aunt in Oakland on occasion, and that's when I met my husband. And then he was forced by sheer force. My great aunt Ruth said, "You're taking Nancy to an A's game. She wants to go." And she said, "No, I don't really want to do that. I'd much rather go with Jeff." And she said, well, in her little, I think she was about 5'1 and 110 pounds, and said, "You're taking Nancy, and there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it." So he ended up taking me to my first professional game. And then, of course, the moral to that story is be nice to little girls because they grow up. A few years later, I guess about 35 years later, he asked me to marry him on that scoreboard at the Oakland Coliseum, and then we actually got married on home plate.
Wow.
Oh, that's so romantic.
The Detroit Tigers, yeah, just before the Detroit Tigers and the Oakland A's game.
What an amazing, man, amazing story. And, you know, I just love, I love what God does, and I love how God, you know, takes us through all of us, you know. And, you know, you've talked about the tough times, and, you know, and I know Natalie and I have been very honest on air about our challenges, you know. And, and you look back, and, you know, I had a pastor friend once say, think about all the times you thought you'd never survive and fill in the blank. You're still here, aren't you? You know, you survived it. And that's God's grace and love. And I love the story of you and, you know, you and Wayne, and hung out with your family. And, man, what a bunch of cool kids and fun dogs. You know, every time I walked into your house, you know, the dog, the big dog would come up, Otto, and then little Gracie, who's a, she's a part Yorkie, part what? Part,
She's half Yorkie, half Maltese, so she's a Morkie.
Morkie, yeah, just the cutest little thing. And then it's just, you know, you feel like walking in your house, you know, the family's all there kind of thing. And, you know, God's just really restored to you, family, and Wayne as well. And I'm so excited. And what I would – I know that some of what you've been through, and you've talked about some of the challenges you, you know, that you had you know, leading up to and after your divorce and being a single mom. I remember you talking, and this is something I wanted you to share. I remember you talking about how, I mean, financially there were some really, 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 I mean, hey, is the electric bill going to be paid? Are we not going to have electricity? Talk about some of that journey and then kind of lead us into what you're doing now.
Absolutely. I remember it was 2008. And I'd already been going through the divorce. My ex-husband was trying to fight me for the children, and it was interesting. He wasn't even really spending any time with them. So if you can kind of imagine the story of sleeping, if that movie, Sleeping with the Enemy, it was like that without the physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I was really trying to break away, and fortunately I had some support at my church to do so. So I did, but guys, I have to tell you, there were days, I remember sitting in the children's parking lot at school with my head in my hands and not knowing how we were going to pay for lunch and not knowing how we were going to pay for the utility bill. And it was absolutely by God's grace that we were, I don't even know, I really do not know. I mean, it was silly things like, I mean, just tons of God events where we were able to... I mean, like, the utilities were going to be turned off on a Friday, but it didn't happen because it was a holiday or something, so that they ended up waiting till the following week, and then I had just enough money to appease them to keep going. And it was just amazing. It was just such a walk of faith, and it was absolutely a situation of not looking down but constantly looking up, and I spent a lot of time on my knees. Well, through the pain and the trials of what I went through with my ex-husband, because I kept believing over and over again that going back or staying with him was the right thing because I wanted so much to have the family unit. But finally, when it got to the point where there was the last affair and, you know, I'm trying to work with this, I finally just said, that's enough, I'm done, I'm out. And the kids and I moved out one more time, and I remember it was a Thanksgiving, and the children did end up spending Thanksgiving with their dad that particular time, and we didn't have any furniture in the house. We had a couple beds, and we didn't even have a dinner. I didn't even have a dinner table. We didn't even have a front. We didn't have a couch, but we had a roof over our head, and it was a decent, it was a nice apartment, but we kept building from there, and Randy can attest. I mean, we don't lack for anything now, but It was the little things that would come and the little things that would happen that I gained such an appreciation for. It was there were some pretty modest times, but as time would evolve, and there was a gal that was in Texas, and she called me. I guess it was a Thursday night. It was after 5. Rarely in my office did I answer the phone after business hours, but in this case I did. And she was panicking. So here we are in, again, 2008, a very challenged economy, not a lot of jobs available because I was living at the time in the Central Valley of California. I was living in Bakersfield, and in my field of expertise, there really wasn't positions unless I was going to be in a major metropolitan city. So this gal calls me, and she had just purchased this piece of LASIK equipment. It was a couple $100,000 piece of equipment, and she said, Nancy, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out of business. I'm based the majority of my business on finance, and I know you have some expertise in that, and I just need some help. And if you don't help me, I'm going to be on the street. My kids aren't going to eat. And so I virtually went to bed that night, got on my hands and knees again, prayed, and came up with Healthcare Finance Direct, which is the company that I founded 4 years ago.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story. So.
And how did you, you did automated software? I mean, you put together from there.
Yeah, talk about how you built the company.
Well, you know, it's really an interesting dynamic. I had been in the industry for so many years. At that time, I'd been in the healthcare business in multitudes of different areas, business development and marketing, sales. I'd worked in administration. I'd also worked in a segment. I'd had started a couple practices with some friends of mine in Colorado. So I'd had experience at the medical practice level. So, and of course, the last several years, I guess the last 10 years prior, I'd been on my own having this healthcare equipment finance business. And so that's why the market, of course, was so challenged because of the financial crisis that we experienced as a nation. But anyway, as I started putting this together, I decided that I wanted to do a manual process because, guys, I really didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I knew I had this idea. I knew what I wanted it to do. I knew that I needed to solve a problem, and that's really what I was trying to do, is solve a problem for this gal. And I started to build. I just literally sat at my desk in this little dinky office, and I started drafting documents. And then I started reaching out to a handful of doctors that I knew. And I knew there was 30 doctors, and I asked them that they'd be a part of a pilot. And I got
great
raving
idea.
Reviews. Yeah, I wanted to get like a focus group, Natalie. I just didn't want to just jump in and start creating software. Well, then we were very blessed. We did that. And then, so this is, we did the test market in November 2008. We established the LLC in February 2009. And here it is. Late 2009, and I end up with this big, huge national client that had locations all over the country. And
wow.
She stayed right by my side. We redid those goofy little documents. It's almost hysterical when you see the infancy and where we are today. But so we started rolling this out, this finance program, across the country in her 32 locations. And then I picked up another big, huge national company, Bosley. So
that's
then,
fantastic.
And then they
Bosley?
And the first one I landed was Lake Vision Institute, and whoa. Then it was Bosley, and then it was Lifestyle Lift. I mean, it just kept growing and growing and growing. Well, then we started doing this for a while, and we said, you know, we really have done this now manual process. We really need to automate this. Well, I learned, folks, that building software is like building a house in the rain, because definitely another exercise.
Oh, that's a whole nother with websites in the back end. Did you do it in U.S. or out offshore?
No, we did it. We actually built it, Natalie, from the ground up, and we did it all here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And so in the process, guys, I'm having to raise capital. I'm bringing in partners. And I have, and Randy knows this, it's me and five male partners that are now a part of this organization. And so now there's like 30 bodies all together now, and now
they're
actually kind of viewed as the nation's leading in-house patient finance company now.
Wow. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
What a story. What a story from sitting in that parking lot, you know, wondering how you were going to pay the electric bill to what you've done. And it came from a phone call, so it was this moment that it seems like God, you know, was presenting to you this opportunity, and you took it and you know, and ran with it. So would you just, again, because I know people, when you say nation's leading in-house patient solution, you know, if we could kind of break that out a little bit. So, for instance, and I do this with Natalie all the time. I'm kind of everyman. You know, you guys are much more the business people, and I kind of just ask the questions probably everybody else is ask, you know, thinking but afraid to ask. So, for instance, when you say financing solution or inpatient, in-house patient solution, a company, say, for instance, these big companies, they hire you or partner with you and people who, what, need financing?
Correct.
Get it from you?
Exactly. Absolutely. So what typically happens, the solution, well, Healthcare Finance Direct was designed to complement the major finance programs that are out in the marketplace. So there's a lot of patients that will want to go and have a service, whether it's a hair restoration, whether it's LASIK surgery, whether it's a high deductible for a medical procedure. They don't have the ability to come out of pocket with those funds. So we built a model to be able to basically allow financing to 92% of people that actually apply.
Wow.
For the finance offering, and the and it's a zero interest model. We don't charge interest to anybody, and then we actually what we do is we actually charge the doctor a nominal fee to offer the financing option to their patient base. So we extend terms. They're shorter terms. There's typically a down payment, a modest down payment based on credit rating, but we look at 9 variables, Randy, to really determine ability and stability, because my humble opinion, when we built the model and I built the credit matrix originally, was that just because of my own challenges, just because my credit score was compromised back in those days because of what I was going through with the challenges of my own personal life, didn't mean I didn't have cash flow. So I built a model looking at 9 variables to determine ability and stability to pay back a transaction over a short period of time. But, again, the ability to not charge people absorbent interest rates. And so it's really a very customer
That's fantastic.
Or patient, well, friendly type program. So we built the system, Natalie. We built it to knowing that we get out to the masses, which we've been able to do. And, again, we've transacted about in 6,200 cities, and so there's doctors of all kinds. Doesn't matter, veterinarians, dentists, they all use our program. So,
now,
and it's called Healthcare Finance Direct, right?
Healthcare Finance Direct, correct.
Yeah, and the website is
healthcarefinancedirect.com.
I was going to say that. You took words right out of my
mouth. That's fantastic, yeah.
healthcarefinancedirect.com. And the exciting thing, and just since, you know, we're on the line with I'm honored to be on the line with two really high-powered, successful, entrepreneurial females, and I think you two could kind of combine and change the world.
I mean, you did it better, though. You were smart to go out and get the finance instead of putting all your own in all the time. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I started it from scratch, but then I put it back in. Huh?
Well, Natalie, at that point, I didn't have the money to put it in myself, so that was not another option. Remember, back in those days, we were wondering what we were going to have for dinner, and we were splitting top ramen 3 ways. So
that is awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome.
You know, it really is. My heart, and Randy spoke to this, my heart really has always been for women and to really encourage them that, you know what, we are amazing creatures, and that we have been given an amazing ability that if we decide we want to do something, we can do it. And if you have a heart and desire and you're willing to get on your knees and you're willing to look up and say, walk me through this, you know what? He is faithful. And it
absolutely
so over and over and over again. And I look back on my career and the places that I've been and the people that I've been blessed to meet, and I just go, wow, I mean, I could have never done this on my own. And I've been surrounded by people much smarter than myself, so I don't want to take credit as I built this organization. I founded it. I came up with the processes, and I came up with the credit and how to do a lot of it, and I've been responsible for a lot of the success, but it hasn't been because of just me. It's been a lot of amazing people that have seen the vision and jumped in. So.
And this software is pretty, as you describe it, and this is where I know you and Natalie could commiserate, or you know, because of the software and the challenges on the internet. But the software that you've developed or have developed, you know, is pretty sophisticated, isn't it?
It's proprietary. We built it from the ground up. It is. It's built on a .NET SQL Server platform, so it really is designed. It's scalable. It's designed to process a minimum of it. I mean, it can easily process 1,000 transactions an hour, and just with
fantastic.
A little bit more umps to do even more than that. So we can the model is really expandable. We can finance hospital transactions, and we can do down to a one office location where maybe you have a dentist or a family practitioner that's sent in one transaction every few months. So
wow, that's fantastic.
Well, here's a question, and I think we sort of talked about this over the weekend, but so this thing, obviously this system works in the concept for, you know, in the healthcare industry, but it could work in other industries, correct?
Absolutely duplicatable, absolutely. It can work in really any service-based business. So when the model was envisioned, that's when I started kind of peeling back the onion a little bit, Randy, I really started to realize that it is duplicatable to a multitude of different business types, from legal to how many times do people go
in
an attorney that, you know, it's
right.
Like, oh, my goodness, I didn't expect that, or maybe it's a funeral. You know, those are things that are, again, service-based, that a lot of around expenses that you didn't expect and need funds right away.
So are you going to license it to other places or not, or just kind of...
Yeah, we probably will. We already own those names, but wanted to make sure that we became experts in what we're doing. And
yeah.
I kind of have the McDonald's philosophy, be really, really good at something and then move on from there.
I agree. Yeah, exactly. That
Focus
makes a lot
on what
of sense.
You know. Nancy Coy is with us again.
Exciting.
Visionary co-founder of Healthcare Finance Direct, and her website, again, healthcarefinancedirect.com, and she'd be a great person. Now, and if you're on the line, if you're listening, and again, especially if you're, you know, you're a female, you're a woman, and maybe you're a single mom, and maybe right now you're struggling, and you just need somebody to talk to, that is absolutely at the core of what Nancy is all about. And Nancy, tell us for a minute, as we wrap up, we've got about 6 minutes here. This time flew by. I knew it would. Tell us about, you've actually done this. You're not just talking about it. You've worked with women who, and helped them kind of get out of their...
Absolutely.
Tell us about some of that.
Yeah, I really love coaching. I really love giving back and helping women realize the responsibility of owning a company or starting, or where should I put my career? Where do I go next? And really helping them develop a footprint of, if you're in a bad situation, moving out of that situation, or and really figuring that out themselves, but kind of guiding them through that. My heart really, of course, is helping women. They want to start businesses and they don't know how to do it, and they're like, should I do it? Should I not? And there's a lot of questions to ask. So that really is a real heartstring for me, and to help them discover if it's
That's
the right
fantastic.
Time, if it's not the right time. Should I put the money out? Should I not? Should I use my life savings? Should I not? Should I use a portion? Am I going to give up the PTA if I do this? And is it the right time? There's a lot of people that want to start businesses, great ideas, but it's not the time. And then there's a lot of people that are sitting on the fence and saying, man, I want to start this. Should I take the jump? Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So
it's a matter of uncovering those things. So yeah, absolutely. Right.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of you can start. Randy, we're not going to go on my story, but I started with zero when I was starting out years ago. And a lot of times you think same thing, and you think you can't do it, but you can start out without a lot of money if you're depending on what you're doing. Now, you can't go out and build a platform, you know, like you did from zero to market without any money or funding, but there's lots of businesses and industries you can get into without having to have all of it behind you, you know, and it's a lot of that. That's awesome that you do that, because I think a lot of women feel stuck and they're afraid to make the first move.
I try to encourage people to do is find inside of you what your passion, because if you find your God-given talent and you start working in that regard, the beautiful thing that happens is you're not working anymore.
Exactly.
Your job becomes, my kids say to me, Mom, you know, you really seem like you like what you do. I said, guys, I've never worked a day in my life since I started my own business. I love what I do. And that doesn't mean that there's not, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be bumps in the road, because there are days, folks, that are, and Natalie, Randy, we've all been through it, where you just wanted to just stick your head in the toilet and yell for help and say, I'm done. That's it. But it's because you love what you're doing that you're willing to keep going.
Exactly. And it's, and to God, really, people have said to me over there, how do you do it? It's God, not me. It's God, not me. Because when you're living your passion in your heart, you can't help your, when you're living your mission and going, and sometimes, you know, we get, we can go full circle. You know, I know it gives you that extra strength, doesn't it? It really does.
Hey, you guys, first of all, Nancy Coy with us, and we're wrapping up here on a couple more minutes. Of course, Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal. You guys tell me if this is a divine download or not, but I could see, as you two were talking, and I'm thinking about the similarities of your stories on so many levels, I think the book and I think the tour needs to happen.
I'm in too. I'm ready.
We've got, it's called, it's time, it's time to heal now. It's time to heal.com.
There you go.
Pretty cool.
Well, women need to hear both of your stories. And what if we got 5 or 6 or 10 women with similar stories?
Be fantastic.
High-powered like you guys. And I'd be willing to, and I know Wayne could help me set up the tours because that's what he's good at. We could kind of tag along with the Beatles reunion tour. What do you think, Nancy?
That would be fun.
There you go. I'm down with that. He's my favorite person to hang out with. And he's been telling me for a long time, you need to get the book done and you need to get out there, because it's an amazing story of what you can do. So and what you can do with the heart in the right place. So.
Wow.
Nancy Coy,
awesome.
Again, founder, co-founder, and are you president? Or your vice president, I guess, is your title, right?
I actually brought in a CEO and president. Made the decision that my children weren't going to suffer on the altar of my success when the company got to the point where I was working half time, which was 6 to 6 Monday through Friday. So I said, it's time to bring somebody else in, and I'll assume the vice president role, and that's what I did. So
smart.
Wow. So she is, again, as I said, co-founder, executive vice president of Healthcare Finance Direct, healthcarefinancedirect.com. And what, again, an amazing, amazing story. If you're listening and you're a lady and you're in that situation, although you can be a guy too. I'm blessed by both of these people. So, you know, truth is truth. And obviously the expertise here is, man, between you two, like I say, between Natalie and Nancy, I'm just seeing the road show, man, and getting you guys out to encourage women and really encourage people.
You know what's awesome is the faith in God. You know what I mean? You know, with Nancy, you have that faith, and it just so makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have made it without it. Guys, I promise you I wouldn't have made it without it.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, Randy. I just couldn't help but throw that in, because me too, I couldn't have either. I think all the time I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for God. Yeah,
absolutely. So, Nancy Coy, thank you.
Thank you. Say hi to the boy.
Thank you for having me today, and I'm sure we will talk soon.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Nancy Coy, again, Healthcare Direct. And Natalie, I told you, what a story.
You're awesome. Oh, she's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Fantastic. Such a great story.
I see it happening. We've been talking about the time to heal, and I think God is bringing people maybe into our lives to really kind of nudge us to get this thing really going this year, because I know that's your heartbeat, and we have literally 60 seconds.
Okay, well, everybody out there, thank you for sharing and listening today, and I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to Realty Universal.